Thank you so much.
Hallelujah! Are you alive today? I don't know if I am, but I have feelings. Amen. Are you going to allow me to have feelings today? Praise the Lord. Greetings this morning. So good to see everyone. Ooh, you look beautiful from here. All right, so I'd like to tell you something about my feelings. Last night, after leaving this place, I said, all right, I need to do this right. That was so good. So now I asked my husband and my son to listen to me prepare on what I am going to say to you. And so I said, oh, the first thing I need to say. And now I sit there and I say, oh, good morning, ladies. It's such a wonderful day the Lord has made today. And Pastor Hurley, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to this August house. And my son says, no, mommy, tomorrow is September. You are getting it wrong already. So, hallelujah. I am here. Again, I'll do it again. So, good morning, wonderful ladies. And I will do exactly what it is, what I did, all right? But on a serious note, what a wonderful time to be alive. Whew! And what a great privilege that I have this morning to be part of God's company. Amen. What God is doing in and through the body of Christ. I'm so humbled, Pastor Helly, for this opportunity that you have given to speak at such a great conference, sharing this podium with great women of God. Thank you to the senior pastors of Miracle Life. Extend my gratitude to Pastors Walker and Helicias and the leadership of MLFC for giving me this opportunity to stand on this platform. I don't take it for granted. I come here and you see when I'm coming and I'm dancing and it's all right because I'm not speaking. And so I'm all funny and I'm all jumping. But this time I sat and said, what an honor, what a privilege to come and speak to you. And it's not like Miracle Life doesn't have great people, great speakers. But who am I? A little worm, puff of dust, to be given this opportunity. I said, Lord, there is something that you are doing. And I will come. I'll make myself available. Vessel that you can use. That which you have poured into me. That which you have poured into the women. Can manifest all to your glory. And so, thank you, Pastor Helly. Thank you, Rhema. Thank you. And greetings from PLG. Greetings from my Reverend Zulu. He said, ah, so you're going? I said, yes, sir, I'm going. Greet Pastor Helly and Pastor Walker for me. So I have delivered, Father, if you are listening to me, I have delivered, and I'm saying greetings from PLG. Thank you so much. Having said that, this morning, I just feel like we need to pray together. Amen. Let's just pray and open in a word of prayer as we look to God. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We honor you. Twami miamwelesa. Twami totela. Oh, kanabe samlopwe. Chimba mlonga. Twami totela. Twatila liveli apalwa liveli amshulweshina liendu. Sendeni ubukata mwelesa. We return all the glory to you, Jesus. We ascribe greatness to you. Oh, Rose of Sharon. Tentemuke ni mwelesa. Ile tualaya mkumona mwichevo cheni mwelesa. Tuatila mwelesa iseni. Tuso sheni. Tuko sheni. Pantu nifwe mwelesa o mwaita as helpers. Nifwe mwaita. Aba nakashi aba limba. Aba ilimba mumli mwelesa. Lelo tuwaisa kucheni chenu mwelesa. Tuatila tukuleni. Tukuleni kanavesa.
Tua mitotela. Tua milumba. Nyakatewewe. Chimba milonga mwewe ne bankuni ne miulu. Mwewe temine miulu kwa vule mpanda. Tua mitotela mwelesa. Tua tila iseni mwelesa. Iseni mwe na ifwe. Tuso sheni kutipitila mumpashi wa mshilo. Tua mitotela. Father, as we look to your word, may it find room and space in us. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so the feelings continue, from last night. I'd like to speak to us today about a message that we have been looking at for a while. I have been looking at this and asking God, what is happening? What are you doing in our lives? And the message title is Purpose Over Principle. Purpose Over Principle. We're going to read the book of Titus, Titus 2 and verse 1 to 8. This is a passage of scripture that most of us use if you're in counseling, if you are teaching, when we're teaching the young ladies, we use this scripture quite a bit. And so this morning, I'd like us to look at Titus 2, reading from verse 1 to 8. And the Bible says, reading from the Passion Translation, your duty is to teach them to embrace a lifestyle that is consistent with sound doctrine. Lead the male elders into disciplined lives, full of dignity and self-control. Age them to have solid faith, generous love, and patience, endurance. Likewise, the female elders, lead them into lives free from gossip and drunkenness, and to be teachers of beautiful things. This will enable them to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be self-controlled and pure, taking care of their households and being devoted to their husbands. By doing these things, the word of God will not be discredited. Some of the versions are saying that the word of God may not be blasphemed or maligned, that it will not be brought to shame. That's why you're doing all that. Likewise, guide the younger men into living disciplined lives for Christ. Above all, set yourself apart as what? As the model or an example of a life nobly lived with dignity, demonstrating integrity in all that you teach. Bring a clear, wholesome message that cannot be condemned. And then your critics will be embarrassed with nothing bad to say about us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, as we begin to look to your word, help us, O Lord, to understand that which we need to see from your word today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So I said, would like to speak on a subject we've entitled Purpose Over Principle. Purpose Over Principle. Allow me to start by stating and defining some of these terms, all right? So when we define a principle, what are we saying? Let me state, first of all, a principle before I define it. I want to say to you this morning that God is committed to our success. In other words, God wants us to succeed. Why? Because success, your success, is good for God. Having said that, let's begin by defining these terms. And the terms we'll start with is principle, right? What is a principle? I know that there are highly scholared people here. So a principle, as you may already know, is a fact. It can be described as a truth or a basis or an idea, all right? When it comes to purpose
or the definition of purpose. One cannot speak about purpose without asking these five questions. And this morning I want us to pay attention to these five questions. These five questions are profound because they have an impact on human behaviors, on our feelings, right? They influence everything that we do as humans. They are not the root of all. In fact, these five questions that we're going to look at are the root of all the problems that you see in humanity. All the criminality, all the corruption that you see are stemming from these five questions we're about to look at. They are the origin of all broken marriages, all broken families, divorce, corruption, and our search to discover the answers to these five questions is what drives our actions. In fact, allow me to suggest that these five questions are actually the reason why you and I are attending this conference today. So, what are these five questions? Number one, who am I? Number two, where do I come from? And this question has nothing to do with your ethnic background. Why am I here? Or why was I conceived? Why was I born? That's number three. The next question is, what can I do or what am I capable of? And lastly, where am I going? If I was too fast, I'll go over them. Don't worry. So all of human life can be reduced to these five questions. So the first question, who am I? It speaks of your identity. Do you know who you are as a woman? Have you ever tried to answer this question and say, when they say I'm a woman, what does that mean? Is it just the physical makeup that makes you a woman? What is that? So your self-identity. Remember, you can never know who you are if you don't know where you come from. So until you know where you come from, you won't know who you are. So the second question is, where do I come from? And this has nothing to do with ethnic background. As I said, it is a question of heritage or your source. What is your source? Where you come from? Again, you cannot know where you're coming from unless you know who you are. Right? Okay? What a paradox. But stay with me here. The third question, probably the most difficult one that we struggle with, is why am I here? Why am I here? Ask your neighbor, do you know why you exist? I hope someone does. So this question is all about purpose, all right? Your purpose on this earth. And it's an important question because for us to know why we are here, we must first know who we are and we must also know where we come from. Amen? You see, if you don't know where you are from, and you don't even know who you are, you probably not know why you are here. So the fourth question, what can I do? What am I capable of? It's all about your potential. In other words, what is my true power? What is my true ability or capability? And lastly, where am I going? This has nothing to do, all right, with physical movement, but it's about your destiny, our destiny, one's destiny. If you are a Christian, maybe that one is somewhat answered because we all know we're going. You know where we're going, right? If we dropped right now, we know where we're going, right? If you are a child of God, you must know where you're going at least. Hey, do you know where you're going? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's go back to our message, purpose over principle. Earlier I said, God is committed to our success, and our success is good for God. The desire for every human being is to succeed, right? And everybody, every one of us, we want to succeed in life. All of us want our children to succeed in life. And so success is predictable, just as failure is predictable also. All right, what do I mean? You can predict if a person will fail or succeed even before they fail and succeed. The telltales are there, right? Uh-huh. So why can you do that? Because life is designed to function by laws of success or failure. God designed life in such a way that he made both success and failure possible to you and me. And they are also controllable by you and me. There is a course which Pastor Helly last night spoke about, which she taught us when I was at Rhema Bible, personal growth and development. I got a chance to also imitate her, right? Walk and follow Christ as I follow. That's what I did. So I also got a chance to teach that. And I'll tell you, sitting and listening and you delivering that just takes everything out of you. So Pastor Helly spoke about personal growth and development. And I'll tell you, this is one of the toughest courses I ever attended. Amen. And if you haven't been to Rhema, I recommend you sign up. You need to sign up. It's not for pastors, it's for everyone. All of us need to go and learn about life. And I'm talking about personal growth and development. So I said this course is painful. You know that none of us like to take responsibility. From Genesis, it was who, right? But personal growth and development points at you. And you know, it's so painful for someone to keep telling you, yes, but, you know, you come with all the arguments. You know, as I was growing up, and that's me, as I was growing up, my father didn't take care of us. He threw us into, and I'm speaking about my life, by the way. He threw us in a chicken run. And now I'm looking for sympathy, yeah? I grew up in a chicken run. My father was what you call secretary to the treasury, but he told me, there's not going to be anything. Nothing can come out of a girl. And I'm telling my story because, you know, you got to feel, I've done something. Yeah? So I'm there. You know, I am pouring out everything that I've gone through to justify why I'm where I am. And then I'm told, do you understand that you cannot blame anyone for where you are? Whatever you are right now, you decided to be. And whatever you decided, that is who you are. I said, how did I decide to be in the chicken run? That was, my parents should have. So what? You survived. You are alive. Are you going to let your children go in the chicken run as well? Or you can learn from there and say, I'm going to make a difference. Right? And all this, you cannot blame anybody. Oh, it's painful to look at yourself. It's painful to take responsibility for where you are. We are taught in personal growth and development to take responsibility for whatever it is that you have become. Irregardless of your background. Irregardless of who didn't take care of you. And right now, I'm off my notes already. I just want to speak to us who went through abuse growing up. Those of us who've been raped. Those of us who were molested. Those of us who had those issues. Right? Because I am one of them. Okay, I almost got raped by my relative, my sister's husband. Right? But all that was basis for me to justify and look for pity. Look for mercy so that everybody can say, oh, you know, you did great. But no, God was there with you. Yes, that thing is evil. That thing should not be allowed. None of us should condone rape. None of us should condone molestation. But if you've gone through there, you can't sit and mourn. You have to come and look for help. Look for the older women who are to teach. I hope you are understanding what your role as a woman is. Because sometimes we think, oh no, it's the mothers. You, if you are a woman, and by Pastor Helly's definition, if you are 18 years, You're supposed to leave your mother's home. And I was like, oh, my child. And you know how that we want to keep our children until they leave. They leave and cleave. Right? So, if you are in here, you are 18 years and above, and you've got the word of God inside of you, that child who's being molested in the compounds, that child who's being beaten and whipped with a knife is your responsibility. You are to bring counsel. You are to bring comfort. You are to bring the word of God. You are to take out that child out of that dysfunction. Because without you and I growing up and standing up to take our place as women, we are going to lose it. And by the way, we have lost it. You will see as we go. So stop blaming other people for your state in life. It is your decisions. You decided to become whatever you are today. Oh, it's you and you and you and only you. The day you realize that, that's the day your healing comes. That's the day you get your liberation. That's the day you get the counsel. Because you know what? There are things in this life. Life is hard. Yes, life happens to all of us. But how long are you going to mourn, child of God? How long are you going to stay in that state so that you can continue to justify your sin right now because somebody did it to you? Yes, they did it to you. When does it stop? It stops with you. It stops with you. You draw a bloodline and you say, this far, devil, you are not coming. Not in my family. No one coming after me will be ever go through this thing. None of them will sleep in a chicken run. I made that call. And I can tell you today, none of my family will ever go through that. I went through it. It is enough. Hallelujah. So, take responsibility for your decisions. And quit pointing fingers at others. The place you're supposed to say, ouch. It's painful to take responsibility, but it's necessary for growth. In other words, life is designed for you to succeed because God needs you to succeed. That's why I said earlier, your success is good for God. God built success into creation. If you don't believe me, go and throw, I eat mangoes, go and throw a mango, yeah? No, not on the pavers, on the grounds. Come back next year, it would have germinated. Because God designed everyone, and you know where we succeed from? Our source. If you are in your source, you will succeed. A plant will grow because out of the dust. When God was creating, He spoke to the source. When He created the stars, He spoke to the firmament. When He created the plants, He spoke to the ground. When He created everything that you see, the animals, everything that you see, He spoke to the source. And when He created man, He also spoke to the source. And He said, let us. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody caught that revelation right now. The success of everything God created protects His reputation. That is why He built it. He built for success. He built all creation for success. When I understood this truth, that God created me and that I'm designed for me to succeed, that my success is in His... Are you listening to me? My success is in His best interest. So, me, a little worm, from the dust, no matter what I do, my source is interested in my success. So, with that understanding, can you imagine the transformation that happens? Because it's not about you. It's about your source. It's about the one who lives inside of you. And if it affects His reputation, if you are my friend, you know my phrase. You know what I like to do when I'm walking onto a pulpit? I say this, Pastor Heli, I'll interpret for you. Say it in Bemba so you hear. Mwele sa ine, tapai nefiona, balwe nunga na filufia nyapa. Pastor Heli, I'm saying, I am just a nobody. And if I mess up, it's your name, I have no name. Right? Yeah, so clearly, that take, you know how we like to take the blame on. And that's a place you can take the blame on and say, God, if I mess up, it's your name, I got no name. I'm just a little Sarah, and there are so many Sarahs. But there's only one Jehovah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So because I realized all this is not about me, and it's about his name, and it's about his reputation, I took a step to introspect on how I live my life. That is why in the book of Titus, God is giving us instruction as women through the Apostle Paul. And he says, as we read, but as for you, and I want you to put your name there. As for you, Sarah, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Teach the older women to live in the way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. If you were here last night, one of our biggest problems in this nation is that the women are out drinking the men, if there's ever such a word. The women are drinking more than the men. And who is justifying it? You and I. Oh no, he treats me so bad. And you know what? Unlike Pastor Haley, I'm one of you and I'll bring it down the way we are. Yes, we are a nation that is harboring shame. And we do it so well, so gracefully. Christian nation. In that umbrella of Christianity, what have you got to show for it? You cannot even bring the name of God to any of the things that we are doing. We, who know better, God is saying, the children of this world are wiser than my own. So, the Apostle Paul through Titus is telling you and I today and saying, teach the older women to live in the way that honors God. They must not slander others and be heavy drinkers. Hey, slandering others. Instead, they should teach others what is good. How are you going to teach what is good if you yourself don't know what is good? These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Must do what? Train. How are you going to train something that you are not doing? How will you train? You have not walked the path. And all your daughter and your son are seeing is this woman who is a terror. How are you going to train when your life is training enough for someone to know how to be disrespectful? For someone to know what a drunkard is? For someone to know what a prostitute is? For someone to know what it is to be a side chick? What are you going to train? These older women must train and to be self-controlled and to be pure, taking care of their household and being devoted to their husbands. Eh, Pastor Haley, sorry, you gotta, I will interpret. Imwe, ngamwashita kofie, akavunga, ichalo tufile chaishiva. You, when you buy a bag of Millimil, everybody, in fact, I'm the one who, am I not the one who buys the food in this house? Why can't I be the one to put on the pants? Tulefikok, we'll get there. So, by doing these things, Father, we give you glory. We give you glory, Lord. We gotta bring it home. We gotta bring it home. By doing these things, the word of God, listen, the reason you are training, the reason you are going through that sacrifice, there is a purpose. It's not about you. There is something that you are preserving. The word of God will not be discredited. The word of God will not be maligned if you do these things. Now, let's look at Romans 1, 22, 21 to 32. Romans 1, the first chapter, 21 and 32. I'd like you to read this when you get home and understand the levels that we have gotten into. So as that is coming up, because I know that there's a lot that is coming, Chisha, I apologize. You can read that chapter at home. But as it's coming up, I want to summarize to you the two parts of this scripture. The first part, from verse 21 to 23, it deals with the basis for the guilt of the Gentiles. In this case, the guilt of the Zambians, by extension. The second part deals with the consequences and results of that guilt, or what God's wrath, God's wrath that came against the Gentiles for doing what they did. There we go. Throughout humanity, the fingerprints of God were upon them, and yet they refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. 22. So you will see the levels that we got to. God condemned the Gentiles. Please beam the whole of that scripture, 21 to 32. So God condemned the Gentiles because they denied the truth about his omnipotence and his divine nature. The Gentiles had all manner of arguments. If you look at this scripture and look at the things that were happening in Romans 21 and 23, we are not far from there. You and I are guilty of this, and that's why I don't want us to look at this and say, oh, this is for the foolish Galatians. No, it is for us. Hallelujah. Us, the Zambians, not the foolish Galatians. Yeah. Oh, who bewitched you? Who bewitched us? Because this is not our heritage. This is not us. All right. Romans 1. Yeah. I would want us to go all the way. Have you seen what we were doing? Their sinful lives became full of every kind of evil. Even the heathens applaud us for the evil that we are committing. Do you know, when I left Bible school, my reverend says, oh, we need to get you into ministry. You've been doing ministry for so long. Now that you're done with Bible school, we're ordaining you. I said, so I can be called what? Yeah. The office of the pastor is an honorable office. But what have you and I done? We have discredited it. The minute you say, I'm pastor, which church? Yeah. Yeah. And if you now say Pentecostal Assemblies of, oh, la pente. Right? What does that mean? We have made the name of God to be blasphemed by the things that we are allowing. Why should we allow doctrine that you and I can tell? If a heathen can tell that this is wrong, what about you and I who have been schooled of God? But what do we do? We're even the ones adding to the followers. On Facebook, you are listening to everything they are saying, which you know. Now, there's even a radio station that is dedicated to people who are saying, come to Ngombe. Just pay a 200 kwacha. You've got problems. We will come and deal with them. A whole channel on radio for witch doctors. And you and I are Rhema grads. And we are here listening to the word every day. And we are saying we are tramping for the nations. And we are saying we are going to take over and teach my people faith. Which people are you teaching? If just right here in Ngombe, we've got a myriad of people taking people, the Lord's people, astray. Every day, you and I are listening on radio, you're watching on TV, of all these polished, well, mine is polished too, polished pastors with wet look, whatever it is, drinking doom, whatever it, oh, children of the Most High, we are guilty of this sin. Knowing that those who do all these things deserve what? And we are alive. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Yet they still go headlong into darkness. Not only do we allow the sin, we even encourage. If you think I am speaking heathen, let me just bring it home. How many of us know of our friend who's sleeping around and we've not done nothing? How many of us know someone who is even using their children? Yeah, you go and tell your child, do not tell your father. Yeah, your child has become your best friend to tell all those secrets, right? How many of us can say, look a little closer in my closet? How many of us know of sin and yet we refuse to do nothing about it? Fiakwe, they are their own fault. Fiabo, it's their own fault. They'll deal with it. Alright, so we have refused to glorify God. We have refused to bring that which you and I are supposed to do. And what do? All day long, we are bringing the name of God in disrepute. The Bible in Isaiah 52 says, what is this? Asked the Lord. Why are my people enslaved again? Those who rule in them, rule over them, shout in victory. My name is blasphemed all day. Further, Romans 2 and 24 says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Because of you. Amen. Because of you, the name of God is mocked. The name of God is discredited. Ladies, I don't know about you, but I want to bring something to us. When a manufacturer is making anything, the last thing they put on their product is their name. Right? You have your Pradas, you got your Gucci, you got everything that you have. Neighbors check what they are wearing, the designers, whatever design you're wearing today, if it has a name, that's the last thing that they put there. And they only do that when a product has been certified finished. And so, it is with our God. If the name of the Lord is on you and is on me, the only time he did that is when he certified us ready. It follows then that he who called us out tested us, all right? Because no product goes out without testing. They'll test the product, make sure it's working. And that is why he tells you and I that before you were placed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I predestined you. I already know who you are. So when I call you helper, I know what I'm talking about. When I say you are suitable, I know you can do it. If the president of this nation was looking for a helper, an aide, an advisor, who is he going to look for? He is going to look for a capable person, one who is qualified. If you and I are going to employ someone, you are going to employ somebody who is qualified. And guess what? That is you. Why is it wrong for you to be highly qualified? Why do you think it is a clutch for you to use against everybody else because you got all the degrees? Because you are the one who's bringing the food to the table. Ask the Proverbs 31 woman. She is the one who provided for that family. She never went out to tell everybody about her business and bring discredit to her husband. What have you done with the boy child? This boy child who is eventually going to turn out into somebody's husband cannot even fix a bulb. And tomorrow they'll come and insult you, the mother, because it is the mother who is supposed to bring the culture and nature to this child. You have abrogated your role as a woman to bring out a child, to bring out a child as they should go, so that tomorrow they can turn out to be responsible, so that tomorrow they can understand what headship is. You have failed to display headship in your home, yet you are looking for it in another person's home. You are looking for a woman to deliver to you a well-nourished headship with the money. If you are looking for the money, you as a mother, have you created potential for that man to be able to understand that you need to generate your own money? Have you created potential before you go and slander another? My name is blasphemed because of you. You as a woman are a co-creator with God. He created you with a womb. He called you helpmate. He decided that you are going to understand the metamorphosis that happens to a mass, a zygote that turns into a baby. Because of that revelation, you are supposed to preserve the knowledge. You are supposed to preserve the culture. You are supposed to preserve the values. And if you fail to do that, you have no right to say nothing about the state of our country. You have no right to say anything about the state of our men, because you know that we have female-headed homes and we hate it and we are upset every day. Why is it that these men are lazy? They are not lazy. You created that monster. They cannot wash plates. They cannot do nothing. There is a leakage in the toilet. And you know what? The Western world that we are following after. Do you know there's DIY? Do it yourself. They don't even have the maids that we have. If I have employed a maid, the maid must do better than me. But because they are doing better than me, does that make them the wife of the home? If they become that, who is going to get angry? You get angry. What about you? Because you are this high and mighty director. You are sitting in that exco. You are sitting on that boardroom. Because there is a man who was not natured by your fellow woman, and by commission you are guilty. So he was not natured. Yeah, he's sitting in your home. You come there as an exco director. You're not going to do this in my house. This is my house. What do you have here? You can pick your bags and go. That's as good as your maid saying, I'm the one who cooks here, so I'm going to sleep in your bed. I am telling you, women, it is time for us to understand our assignment. There's a purpose that God says you are a custodian. There's a purpose that God says you are the one to bring the word of God to the children. You are to teach both male and female. Why are you teaching them? Because these are the future leaders. These are the future husbands. These are the ones to bring the word of God and to preserve the culture and the heritage. The Bible in Psalm 78 says, we learn through the stories. Make sure the generations don't forget their stories. It is the stories that you learned of Father Abraham. You learned of the heritage. The God of Isaac. The God of Jacob. You taught the children, the generations. What are you teaching the children? Who is teaching our children? Is it social media? Because I'm busy. I'm writing my exams. And you know what? Yes, I do write. Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I'm busy. I'm tired, Lord. You understand? But you have a child that is going to grow up. And tomorrow, that child will say, I don't have feelings for boys. I think I'm inclined. These things we are watching. These things we are seeing. The decay, the moral decay in this country is pathetic. And the name of the Lord is being blasphemed. Remember, Zambia is called a Christian nation. What do we have to show for that? It is a clutch. We are hiding in that umbrella. We should be ashamed. And guess who is responsible? It is the woman. When a child is doing wrong, what do they say about the child? Do you ever hear any man there? Yeah? And we thought, oh no, you know what? This is wrong. The men should take their responsibility. How can they? It's not just about me. I should. Yes, it's not about you, and you should do. But listen to what the Proverbs 31 woman did. What did she do? She made sure her husband was honored, was respected. If they say respect is earned, right? So why should a woman be the one to ensure there is respect? If it's earned just by him, oh, I'm the president, everybody's falling around, right? Yeah, because it's ended. But now, if she had to ensure, I want to put it to you, that man, without that insurance, he had no respect, he had no honor. So, you and I, we are in the right space. Yes, we went to the west of the pendulum. We said, the girl has been marginalized. And what did we do? Girl power. This. We forgot about the boy. And now the boy is arrogant. Now the boy is upset. Now the boy, his ego is bruised. Because this girl is standing up. This girl has gone to the west of the other side now, forgetting that you need a balance. No matter what you do, you will never be the head. You are to be submitted. That is the revelation. No matter what you do, that is not your role. Yes, we are equal. That the equality is in him. The equality does not mean that you take over the rulership. The equality does not mean that you take over the headship. God forbid. When you look at the emblems, when you look at the signs of certain things, if I just show you Toyota sign, you will know that's a Toyota. When people look at you, what name do you bear? Huh? Prada, you know this is Prada. Apple, you know this is Apple. But when people look at you, which name? It's written child of God, hallelujah. If they can see a child of God, glory be to God. But I kid you not, we are not showing up as we should. We are not looking like we should. I tell you, my job allows me to travel. So I traveled to Lukulu, one of the rural areas of this country. And I saw a child, you know, running with books. And I thought, oh, there must be a school somewhere. And for whatever reason, I locked eyes with that child. And so I'm looking and I'm trying to see, oh, where is he running to? There must be a school. We drove 30 minutes. There was no school. And at that moment, I realized he has to catch up whatever the car did in 30 minutes as he's running. In there could be a snake. In there could be anything, all forms of danger. Is it a curse for anyone to be born in rural of this country? Is it a curse? If it's not, what are you and I doing about it? We are happy being happy. We are in this place receiving the word. We are in this place being enriched. But what are you going to do with the word that you receive today? What transformation are you going to ensure happens? The Lord is looking for transformation. That is why he allowed the woman to see the transformation of a zygote into a full-grown human being. He allowed that so you can understand that you have the nurturing perspective. You are carrying the name of God so that you can replicate that to the whole world. He says you are going to the world to bring deliverance. Your feet should be feet that carries the good word of the Lord, the good news of the Lord. But what are we doing? We are busy being busy. So in Titus 2, we are emphasizing on the women teaching the younger people. Ladies, we have nothing if we do not have Christ in us. We are the custodian of the values. We are the ones that God is looking to partner with him on this transformation journey. What is your response today to the decay of morality in this nation? What is your response to not even this nation, your neighbor, your workmate, your schoolmate, that woman who is not living up to the values, and you yourself who's not living up to the values? Because these people, These people who were drinking and whatnot, they were in their church. And Paul was speaking to their church. So I am, God through this worm is speaking to the church and saying, how long will you continue with your drunken state? How long will you continue with your immorality? There is a purpose that you were created. And that purpose is to bring about transformation. That purpose is to bring about God's agenda. How long will you continue worrying about you and you alone? This is not about you. It's about a kingdom. It's about him who died. And when he said, it is finished, he certified that you are complete. He certified that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. He certified that this product can do everything that I have said it should do. And therefore, I will call it Helper. I will call it the same name that is given to the Holy Spirit. This product is going to lead a home. Why? Because God's primary source, where God takes his primary source of bringing salvation, the message of salvation, is the home. Listen to me. As children's church, as Sunday school maybe, Sunday school teachers, you think we are miracle workers? From Monday to Saturday, social media, porn, what? And including you, because they are watching what you are doing. And you expect us in 10 minutes, remember the span of the child, 10 minutes to debunk all that and bring to you a saved soul. And all the Sunday school teachers or children here said, we are not miracle workers. You do your job. You school them in the way that they should go. The Bible says train up a child that the way they should go. You are to train them by how you live. First of all, because as you model, that's what Titus said, as you model, a child is learning. The child will see that, you know what, and you know they're so intelligent. They can literally see who brings the money. But then they see you who's high and mighty in those boardrooms. And I'm not saying, look, I understand. And let me tell you, I understand. But our culture has got good and bad. Pastor Haley spoke about the things that we do. All right? It's not everything in our culture that is horrible. We've got great morals. We were schooled right. I can wash my clothes. Can our children today wash their clothes? No, the maid, including everything that a man should not touch. You yourself are the first one to leave those things everywhere, lying everywhere. But let a sock be left, all hell will break loose because you're the one who's wearing the pants. Child of God, your life is a ministry. The Bible says, peradventure, they that do not know him will come to know him through your conduct. The way you live will cause that drunken husband of yours to stop and come to the salvation knowledge of God. The way you conduct yourself will cause that child who is on drugs to come to the saving knowledge of the living God. What power are you displaying? We were singing about the power of the name of the Lord. Are you sure you got something to hold on to that you can deliver to your children? This morning, as we close, when God told Adam not to eat of the fruit, he was alone. And when Eve came, he passed on that message. Why? Because he realized the one who preserves knowledge is a woman. And when the serpent, in his clever mind, he knew that, if I go to Adam and tell him eat, you'll probably eat. And then when he takes it to her, the clever one, she'll just, you're on your own. What did God say? By now, that's me, okay? Now, that's not biblical. You will not see it anyway. That's just Sarah. I think about that. I know that the woman would have said, what? Did you just eat? Okay. Let's wait and see. And probably even call, Jehovah, have you seen what this one has done? Yeah? He had to take the stronger one. And listen, you are strong for a reason. You are strong to bring strength to the one who is weak. You are strong to bring about the order that is supposed to be there. Because without the order of the family, the salvation message cannot go out. There is no way you're going to tell me man and man, woman and woman, who are already in sin, who will take the gospel of Jesus Christ ahead. So the family unit must be preserved. We cannot continue to ignore this fact. You and I need to arise. You and I need to take up a stand. There is no need for us to remain in this state. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I want to leave you with a charge. What is it going to be? Are we going to continue like nothing has happened? Are we going to turn a blind eye that we've been turning and continue to live in our own satisfaction that we are okay and the Lord will work it out for them? He's looking to you. He's looking to me. And as we are closing, with every eye closed this morning, I'd like us to look inside and ask the Lord, Father, you placed your name on us for a reason. You said, for as many as received you, you gave the right to be called the children of God. So if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the mark, you've got his symbol on you. Are you going to continue to allow his name to be blasphemed because of you? Or are you going to take a stand and say, this far, and that's it? We're just going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. And if you're in this place and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. Everything I'm talking about, you have to know him personally as your Savior. If you do not know Jesus, I ask you to put up your hand so we can pray with you. Anyone in here who would like to receive the Lord? If you are in this place and you say, I've messed up, thank you for that hand. And I would like to have the Lord himself deal with my heart so I can be a good example to my niece, to my nephew, to my children. If you are in this place, put up your hands and the ashes will see and we will pray with you when we close. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We honor you. Holy Spirit, continue to speak to your people. Father, only you can bring the real transformation. Thank you for risking your name on us, O Lord. And if you risk your name to place it on us, we know that we are worthy to be called by your name. And Father, we will step up. We will get to a place where we can deliver that which you have placed in us. Thank you for our children, O Lord. Thank you for our husbands. Thank you for our families, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to be everything you've made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.